Welcome to another edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series. On this episode, we profile Seattle actor and portrayer of the fictional jazz DJ known as Ray, Mr. Frank Boyd. He recently ended a very successful run of the Holler Sessions in Seattle, portraying a jazz DJ from Kansas City, to rave reviews and hopes that this production will go on the road around America and make its way to KC. It's a case of real jazz DJ meets the fictional one for an interview probing his thoughts on jazz, Kansas City, and the beyond. Dig it, my friends.
Hello.
Joe.
Yeah.
It's Frank. What's up, man?
Hey, Frank. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking a little time out to talk with me.
Yeah, no, thank you for being interested. It's great, man. I love it.
So, it's kind of cool. The fictional and the real jazz DJs get together for a little chat.
Yeah, this is great.
So, let's start at the top here. How did this idea, the big bang for this idea, come into fruition?
I'm going to try to pare down this, boring theater development story. I'll give you the short version, and I'm happy to expand. The short version is that I work with a few companies out of New York, one of which is called The Team. And The Team was making a show. In its early stage, it was called A Town Hall. This was right after Congresswoman Giffords had been shot. The powers that be in that company wanted to make a show that looked at the state of civil discourse in America at that time. Things seemed really hot and really violent and very fragile and all that. And so anyways, that's kind of how it started. And somewhere along the line, we thought, well, it'd be interesting to have a radio DJ be a character. Maybe that we initially thought it'd be more of kind of like a political talking head kind of character. And so we kept kind of trying to figure out how to start this piece, and actually got a commission from Kansas City Rep to come there and develop the work further. So then that's when, well, what if this guy's a jazz DJ? You know, but this is all very kind of like intellectual, that's where it was coming from. And then, you know, jazz could be a metaphor for a higher form of communication, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this show, it just kind of, it ran its course, and we had a great time in Kansas City. But I personally listened to a lot of music there and really ran with this idea of this jazz DJ character and started writing a lot of material for him. And meanwhile, you know, to be honest, like the other show, it just never really caught fire the way you hope a show does. But within that, you know, I felt like I was just getting started on something and really I felt like I'd really been bit by something and had an incredible time in Kansas City listening to music and talking to musicians and researching and writing and creating this character. So, you know, that show ended and everybody kind of went their separate ways, and I came home to Seattle with what I knew was just the beginning of something very important to me. And so I kept working on it, and that's what became the Holler Session 2 years later, basically. But it very much happened there. I mean, in terms of the Big Bang or whatever, it very much happened on the ground in Kansas City. That's when to me it really became personal, and it became more than just some kind of intellectual idea about a show about A, B, or C. That's when I really got kind of lit on fire, and that was clear to everybody. You know, and I think we all knew when that phase ended that I would be continuing work on what I'd started.
What's the reception to it? What has it been like?
Oh, it's been incredible. We had a sold-out two-week run at On the Boards, which is a venue that presents work internationally and then also, obviously, nationally, too. And, it's been really exciting. I think, the cross-pollinating of theater and jazz has interested a lot of people here.
Yeah.
And that's been cool to get people in the theater that don't normally go, and also to get theater people listening and thinking about jazz. I can really feel that happening, and that's working. You know, the press has been good. Yeah, it's been great, man. I do think this show will tour. So, God, hopefully it'll be. To come to Kansas City would be incredible.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. So, what do you think it is about your production that's getting people fired up? Obviously, you need to have a good set, you need to have good acting. Is there something within the whole idea of jazz and delivering it to crowds? Is that something, do you think, that's really appealing to people? What do you think it is?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about it, and you know, I'm in it, and it, so it's kind of hard to, like, know definitively what exactly is working. I probably would be a combination of a lot of things, but if I had to just, like, answer that question in general terms, my character is, he's like me. He's relatively new to jazz, and he's experiencing the music in real time. You know, during the show, I break a lot of, like, you know, traditional radio rules. I stop songs in the middle and, like, go back and play a section again, and if I get really pumped up, I'll talk over the song about what's happening. And so I think there's an immediacy to it that maybe, you know, again, to totally generalize, that maybe people don't always get on FM radio when they listen to a jazz show. But the inspiration for my character was a combination of, like, George Carlin and a couple sports radio guys. So, like, very East Coast, fast-thinking, profane, really direct and unfiltered. Kind of a commentary.
What have you learned about jazz that coming into this that you had no idea about, say, your time in Kansas City or just in general with looking into jazz? What's kind of blown your top that you're like, wow, I had no idea?
Yeah, that's a great question. Before this process started, I had listened to a little jazz. You know, I had Kind of Blue in my CD case, you know. But I think I was falling prey to some of the cliches out there about jazz, you know, that it's... that the old stuff is, like, cheesy and antiquated and corny, and that the new stuff is kind of purely cerebral music, that, you know, that it was background and that it didn't have the immediacy or the emotional firepower that other kinds of music did, like rock and roll or, you know, whatever. Didn't know who Charles Mingus was. I mean, talk about explosive, immediate music. I mean, that, you know, there's nothing more live than any of that stuff to me. And I didn't even know who he was, you know. I knew who Charlie Parker was, but I didn't have any context or, like, I didn't know how to, like, listen to that music. I'm still figuring that out. But so I don't know, man. I guess, like, I thought Louis Armstrong was just the guy that sang that song. You know, I never listened to the Hot 5 stuff, or no one ever really, like, sat me down. I was like, no. Like, listen to this. You know, it just didn't happen the way that, like, someone, like, hands you a Led Zeppelin record in eighth grade. You know, I feel like someone should have. You know, that's something I talk about on the show, is that, God, people have really dropped the ball with it. Like, this is not just good music, but it's our history in so many different levels. And it should be required shit. I mean, it really should be. Someone should have sat me down and put the headphones on and said, you know, and said, you got to listen to this.
Like, right.
As an American, you have to. There's something here for you that you need to find. And anyways, I'm glad I'm there now, you know, but took a while.
Yeah, you know, it's an existentialist thing, man. You can't look back. You got to just say, hey, this is where I'm at. Sounds like you're getting kind of baptized in the entire genre, which is nice. And as far as I'm concerned, it's never too late. And, you know, one of my taglines in my show at the end, I always say, one of America's best inventions, jazz. So, you know.
Oh, it's the best, man. Yeah. That's great. Hell yeah. Yeah. I completely agree.
Do me a favor real quick before we move on. I'm very interested. Kind of get into kind of your actor's mode and give me your DJ voice. I'm curious to see how this kind of goes, if you can do that.
Okay. I'll just give you a little something. Okay, folks. I've been listening to Bird Gets the Worm. I love the end when they're trading eights or whatever. Okay, let's listen to that. And then what I do now is I play that last 65 seconds of the song, and then when it's over, I say, "Okay, folks, that's Bird, Miles Davis, Max Roach, Tommy Potter, Duke Jordan. Okay, that's like Thomas Jefferson, Abe Lincoln, Roosevelt, and two of the other ones having a conversation. Only these guys can implement in real time, folks. Max Roach." We collectively create a thing of beauty. Max Roach said that. Listening. He's talking about listening. Anyways, then I go into kind of a profane story.
Oh, man.
A metaphor for listening.
No, I love it, dude. That's great. That's great. That's what I wanted. I wanted a good flavor. That's awesome. Let me ask about Seattle. You know, we kind of dip our toes in the KC market quite a bit to get a feel of what people are thinking about jazz. Is there kind of a jazz radio presence, or there a nice live jazz scene going down there in Seattle?
There is a good live jazz scene here, and there's a band here called Industrial Revelation. It actually is really blowing up here. They're upright bass, trumpet, keys, and drums. They're huge here, actually, which is really exciting. And at the end of my show, I have a surprise live performance, and I was able to book a few of these guys to play, which was incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm still kind of navigating it myself, but there definitely is. As far as the radio goes, I would have to say no. There's not much here. There's the public jazz radio station, and they're fine. You know, it's a little sleepy, to be honest. You know, and then there's a guy who has a show on KEXP 90.3, which is it's an incredible station, and they play, you know, pop and indie rock and stuff. That they have a jazz hour. This station is streamed all over the world. I mean, they're a huge tastemaker in the pop world. But jazz hour is, you know, it's like Sunday night, you know, midnight to one.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than that, there's not much on.
What I really want to do is make sure that people understand where this production's taking place, the times, and kind of what your view of where you want to go with this.
Yeah, the Hollow Sessions should tour America. And coming to Kansas City is really on the top of my list because the show was born there. And the show is fiction, you know, takes place in Kansas City, like that in the fiction of the show, that's where we are. So I think, you know, this show could go anywhere. It could fit in the corner of a museum or in a theater or in a bar. And it's an hour of listening and talking and ranting and raving about jazz in a way that I don't think a lot of people hear. And there's a live musical ending to the show. So there's a local music component that will always be a part of the show, which I think will be really fun for the folks in whatever town it might go to. We're done here for now.
Okay.
I think the first nibbles I've gotten as far as touring have been in the UK, which is kind of funny, you know, and I'm happy to go there, but ultimately I really want to tour the show here at home, because it's more important to me that Americans really get the message first, at least, you know.
Man, Frank, it was a pleasure talking to you. I hope if you do come to town, I'd like to shake the glad hand. And
oh yeah, I'll knock on your door well before we get there, for sure, man.
Kick ass, man.
Thanks, Joe. Oh yeah, I look forward to checking out your show too.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to yet another Neon Jazz interview session, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest jazz cats, characters, and actors all over the USA, giving fans that needed art and jazz. And thanks to Mr. Frank Boyd as Ray, and ultimately as Frank, for his time and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store, or for all things Neon Jazz, visit the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the music, my friends.
Neon Jazz.